I finished teaching through the book of Ephesians. I'm going to the book of 1 Peter. Would you go to 1 Peter? And the message tonight is titled, Hope in Troubled Times. You know, folks, when you're going through trouble, it's hard to receive truth. Because when we go through trouble, the devil sees to it. The first thing that happens is, you know, I've really tried to serve God. Why am I going through this trouble? And before you know it, you get angry at God. Now, we're too sophisticated to say that, but we really do. We get a little mad at God. And Peter reminds us of some things here as he writes what we call a general epistle written to each of the New Testament churches and written to this one. I'm going to deal with the opening seven verses, and so I want to take four little divisions out of it. So just let me read the seven verses, and let's see if you and I have any hope, and are we justified to have any type of hope and assurance when times are not their best? I don't know what you think about it, but folks, I'm telling you, times right now that we live in are not the best I've ever heard tell of. When I thought it was interesting, don't want to go off into this avenue, but I thought it was interesting that this woman who shows herself to have all types of physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual problems by being classified as transgender. Folks, we need to pray for transgender people. That's the right thing to do. You understand that, don't you? But for the grace of God, that's what you and I would be. But folks, when a person wants to change their sex, they reveal that something is messed up, both in their heart, their spirit, and in their thinking. When I say in their head, that doesn't mean they're mentally retarded. That means that they are deceived. And that's very unpopular in this culture. And there's some controversy in the press. Do we call her him because she was transgendering from female to male? Folks, I can help you and tell you I know exactly what you are sexually speaking. You are whatever sex you was born with. And because you mutilate yourself doesn't change what God made you to be. I don't care if you cut off every appendage you got and make orifices where there are none. You are still whatever God made you to be. And we have, by the way, a number of people who've gone through all that and who've come back to say, I was deceived. That is not the way to live. And I praise God those people are coming forward and saying that, because we ought not have an axe to grind with them. We ought to have a prayer to pray for them. With that said, we're living in a troubled moment. And this girl said in her notes she left, among other things, that the reason she chose the Christian school was that it was a softer target, meaning there were some other schools she wanted to hit, but there's too much security. Now, folks, that is a good, clear way of saying that if you have security, you cause people who are messed up in their thinking to think twice before they try that. And so we need to pray for all school teachers and people who are in public places. But having said that, do we have any hope for times like this? Beginning in verse 1, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively, which means living, hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that's incorruptible and undefiled and that fades not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith, unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations or manifold trials. That the trial or testing, that word trial means testing, that the testing of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. In verses 1 and 2, as we think about the hope that is ours, notice as we read those verses, and as you even look at them in your Bible that you hold in your lap, he is saying something about the nature of the salvation that is ours. And though we are saved people, we belong to God. He's writing this to God's people. He is saying there is still the sense in which in verse 1, we're strangers. Though we're on earth, it seems like we are what would be called resident foreigners. Are we citizens of earth? And the answer is yes. But is this our ultimate home? And the answer is no. You know, we hear more in recent years about certain people who have dual citizenships. That means they are citizens of the United States and citizens somewhere else. The name that comes to mind because he's well known and a beloved believer is the Messianic Jew, Joel Rosenberg. Joel, of course, being a Jew, is a resident of Israel, but he is also a resident of the United States. He's a resident of two countries. If you're saved tonight, you are what we would call a resident foreigner. You are a resident here, but your ultimate citizenship is in heaven. And so believers are to live in the world, but to be separate from the world and penetrate the lostness of this world as salt and light, because the one thing this world needs more than anything else is the witness of Jesus Christ, the message of the gospel, because we don't have to live in a place that the Bible tells us is one day going to be folded up like an old vesture and done away with, destroyed. We don't have to live down here with no hope about what's to come other than the destruction that will one day be poured out here. God's people are not facing destruction. God's people are facing a home in heaven. So though we are saved, we're strangers down here. And we really, while on earth, we are absolutely longing for our home. Folks, we know where we're going. We know how we're going to get there. We know why we have citizenship. And it's not because we are good, wonderful people. It's that we have a wonderful, glorious Savior named Jesus. And so we're thankful for that. Now, he makes the statement here in verse 2, elect according to the foreknowledge of God. Elect means to be selected. It means by implication that God has favor on you. And what he is explaining, elect of God, where Jesus was, as he talks about that, it is a reference back to the book of Acts chapter 2, when he speaks concerning Jesus was delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. He says to them, you've taken, meaning taken Jesus, and by wicked hands you've crucified and you've slain him. Folks, Jesus dying on a cross was not first the plan of wicked men. It first was the plan of a holy God who was willing to send his son to make a payment for our sin so that the one who knew no sin, Jesus, would become sin for us so that we who deserve condemnation and punishment might be made the righteousness of God in him. Somebody say, praise the Lord. I'm telling you, that's wonderful stuff. So we're saved down here. We're thankful to be saved. We're going to occupy ourselves until he comes and calls us away. But we know that this place is not our home. We are still strangers. Number two, in verses 2 through 5 that I read there, we are a stranger in this world. But even though we're moving on, we're secure. Now, we are very secure. Now, how do we know that? Well, he mentions the word sanctification. That means that he's given us a spiritual birth. He has set us aside as his children. It refers to the purifying process that is done in the heart and life for the remainder of the life from the time the Lord saves you. Folks, sometimes for the child of God to live and be involved in some of these things that are just unspeakably wicked, that's a contradiction of who we say we are. You know, I have never understood in my lifetime that when the Supreme Court said that one of the rights of free speech is that citizens can burn their flag, can I make a statement to you? The Supreme Court may have said you have the right to do it, but that is not something a citizen does that loves his country. That's just not, that doesn't fit. And so though we are certainly strangers in this world, we're in the process of being sanctified, purified by Him. That's why we're secure. He provides a living hope, the text says. And what He mentions in this third verse, you'll see the word in there, resurrection. A living or lively hope by the resurrection. Our living hope is not based on who we are or what we can do, but our living hope is based on the fact of a living Christ who bore our sin, suffered, bled, and died, and victoriously overcame death and the grave. So our hope, if the Lord could defeat by paying for sin, if He could defeat the grave and live again, don't you suppose He can give us a hope for living down here? I don't believe He's going to come across anything any more severe than death, not at all. So He provides a living hope. He grants us in verse 4 a lasting inheritance because He says it fades not away. Folks, God's given you something that is not going to tarnish. Now, we have a lot of things in our homes, and after a number of years, you go back and look and you think, that thing doesn't look like it looked when I first bought it. That's tarnished. Ladies who have silverware know a lot about tarnishing silverware. Everyone values silver, and we understand why, but it can tarnish on you. I learned as a kid that copper pennies, new pennies, wow, they could shine like everything. In fact, there was an expression, that shines like new money, but new money doesn't shine long, does it? It fades, it tarnishes. What the Lord's given you and me will not tarnish. Jesus will be as fresh in the morning if you want Him to be, as close to you in the morning than you've ever known Him to be in your life. I often think of the words of the hymn, I love to tell the story to those who know it best. Seems like they're hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. We never get tired of hearing it. You just never get tired of hearing how we were once lost and we didn't find Him. He found us. And He's forgiven our sin, and He saved us, and He's made us accepted in the citizenry of heaven through the one who the Bible calls the beloved one, the Lord Jesus. So we have a lasting inheritance. He also, according to the scripture there, holds us in a secure position because He says, you look at verse 5 right there. These who have this inheritance, verse 5, are kept, K-E-P-T. We are kept by the power of God. That means we are fortified, we are strengthened, and we are secured in Him by the power of God. You know what that tells me? Brother Wayne's not hanging on to Jesus. Boy, Jesus is hanging on to me. I'm not stout enough. I can't hold out. I'm always amazed when a lost person says, well, you know, I'd like to believe that, I'd like to do that, but I won't be able to hold out. You got that right. You sure won't. None of the rest of us can either. But if you will give your life away to the one by repenting of your sin who died for our sin, He will hold you out, and you'll be amazed what He can do in your life. You'll be saying one of these days, God's been good in my life. There's a third thing, and that's in verse 6 and first part of verse 7. We are secure, you'll agree with this, but we do struggle. We do struggle, don't we, church? Now notice verse 6, wherein you greatly rejoice, but just for a season, if need be, you're in the heaviness through manifold difficulties. That's what temptations and trials are. He supplies, the word there is rejoice. He supplies joy in the midst of all of our difficulties. Now we're walking around here tonight rejoicing in our ultimate victory, aren't we, church? But along the way, we're grieved at times, aren't we? And I don't mean just grieved when we have to bury a loved one. We are grieved then, but we're grieved. Could you even, I've had a number of you say, Pastor, I can't watch it anymore. I can't watch television anymore. I just looked the other day and listened, some of it on radio, and I thought about, three precious children and three precious adults who'd given themselves to teach children in a Christian school are now lives wasted by somebody that's evil. If you feel any compassion for human hurt, you can't hear that without being moved. You just absolutely cannot. And we find that we're on our way to heaven, hallelujah. But on that journey to heaven, we shed a few tears. Our hearts hurt. We're so sorry that some people face what they face. The tests and trials are able at times to stimulate us toward evil. You say, how so, Pastor? Well, you just imagine a moment. What if that had been your 9-year-old child or grandchild? Well, but for the grace of God, we'd be talking about you being in prison tonight because you want to take justice into your own hands, and let me tell you what ought to be done there. There's a report out of Florida where a guy kills his wife, and they find the next day the 2-year-old still body fully intact in the mouth of an alligator, and they've charged him with 2 murders. Now, what they don't say in the article, did he feed the 2-year-old to the alligator? We don't know, or at least I haven't read. But here's people that do not value life. They do not. They have a very mixed up value system, and part of that is because we citizens ultimately of another kingdom have a different set of values, and the people that live on this earth have a set of values not even akin to the values we have. If you want it and it belongs to somebody else, this world says, take it. Don't matter what it is, take it. If it's their money, steal it. If you've got to deceive them and lie to them, deceive and lie. If it's their wife or child, do what it takes to take them and abuse them and get what you want. This life is all about the individual. The life to come, the life of Christ, is about what Christ has done for us. And when this life down here is over, for those that don't know Christ, as unpopular as it is, there is still a hell for people to go to who are Christ rejectors. And I remind us, I take no joy in ever mentioning that place. But Jesus told us more about that place than he did heaven. So we've got to be faithful with the proclamation of the Word of God. So we find he supplies joy in the midst of our difficulties. He imparts in the opening part of verse 7 that the trial of your faith being much more precious than gold that perishes, though he said your faith tried with fire, it's not going to perish. It's going to be found to praise and honor and glory to the Lord. So he imparts to us an imperishable faith. Folks, the things of God last. The things of this world pass away. That's as plain and as accurate as I know to say it. Say it again. The things of this world pass away. The things of God live and abide forever. So that the testing of your faith, your conviction, the truth you hold on to, though you go through trial because of it and it's tried with fire, it becomes praiseworthy, it becomes commendable to the God who has made that a part of your life. Last thing I want to call your attention to is the latter part of verse 7. After he said it'd be tried with fire, it'd be found to praise and honor and glory. Notice this part of the phrase, at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Folks, you struggle, but you don't have to doubt. Why is that? Because he guarantees the promise of his return. Can I tell you something? Jesus the Christ was born of a virgin. If you agree with that, say amen. This Jesus lived a perfect life. If you agree with that, say amen. This Jesus suffered and bled and died on a cross. If you agree with that, say amen. He was placed in a tomb, graveyard dead. If you agree with that, say amen. 3 days later, he came forth from the dead, and that's why we take Easter Sunday and just emphasize that. He's alive tonight. If you agree with that, say amen. 40 days later, after a resurrection, he stayed on this earth 40 days, and right in the presence of his disciples and a group of others, he just ascends right up off the earth bodily back into heaven. He's the ascended Lord. If you agree with that, say amen. I said all that to say this. He is the Lord who's coming again. Now, nobody believes that, but he's coming again. Oh, some folks like you, you believe that. But they think we're crazy. I heard a secular, I could call his name, some of you would remember him, but that's beyond the point. I heard him interviewed once about the evangelicals of our day. Now, that's been probably 30-plus years ago. And here's the way he did it. I watched his body language and his facial expression. He said, they really believe that Jesus Christ is coming back to this earth. And I thought to myself, he ain't never got much right, but he got that right. We really believe Jesus Christ is coming back to this earth. And he will one day be seated on the throne of his father David. And there is coming a day. Oh, listen to me. More wonderful than my words could ever express, when every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, and they'll do that to the glory of God the Father. Have you thought about it? The Father who loves his Son more than you and I can love him, the Father who loves his only begotten Son more than I could love my sons and daughters, he has heard nothing but abuse, vile words, blasphemy for all these years about his Son. And one day he will get to hear everyone confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Now, there's going to be a bunch of them do it on that day, and it will have no saving power. They've waited too late. And that's why we emphasize that today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. We know not what tomorrow may bring, but we know who holds tomorrow. And we not only know that he holds tomorrow, but when you repent of your sin and give your life to him, he holds all of your tomorrows. That's the most wonderful thing in all the world. I don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. I don't know what night when I lie down with Beth, that'd be the last night I'd do that. I don't know when I'll see my children and not know it, but that's the last time I get to say anything to them. I don't know when that's going to be. That may be, I doubt it's going to be 30 more years, but it may not be 30 more months. By the way, if I live 3 more years, I'll live as long as my father did. But the problem is, I'm not promised 3 years, you aren't. I'm not promised 3 days, you aren't. I'm not promised 3 minutes. Now, it will matter for my family if I live however long, but if your faith is in Christ, the moment these eyes shut here, they open up in the presence of glory, the most wonderful thing that we could ever imagine. And we base that on I don't know how that could be possible, but I just hope it is. No, it is a living hope. It is a resurrected Christ that makes that possible. So in troubled times, do we have any hope? I suggest to you we do. So just live for Jesus, brag on him, give you your gifts, and I'm talking about whatever he's gifted you with, give them to Jesus every day you live, the best you know how. At the end of the day, thank him for the day you've lived. Ask him for rest in the night. If you wake up the next morning, thank him for the new day and tell him you surrender to his lordship and you'll do your best to live for him. And during that day, do all you know how to tell somebody else about him, because when time as we know it on this earth is no more, it's only going to be those who have put faith and trust in Jesus, having repented of their sins, who will be grateful for what we talk about when we come to church. You know, we worry about people who could come to church, who claim to be saved, but yet, it just ain't no big deal. Folks, you die without Christ, it's going to be the biggest deal you ever heard of, but it'll be too late. So today, harden not your hearts, Hebrews said, as in the provocation, meaning don't harden your heart like the Israelites did when they provoked God. You don't want to provoke God. You don't want to thumb your nose at him. You don't want to keep hearing the plea of repentance and salvation and say, nah, not me, not now. Well, if not now, when? And if you say another day, oh, are you guaranteed another day? I would suggest to you that today is the greatest day you could ever give your heart to Jesus. You say, how do I do that, Pastor? You come to the conclusion and reality in your soul, in your heart, in your inner man. You know, I need forgiveness after some of the things I've done. I've proven I'm part of a fallen race, and I need forgiveness. And while you may need the forgiveness of some other mortal person, you don't need anybody's forgiveness as bad as you need God's forgiveness. And so tonight you'd say, oh, dear God, I need your forgiveness. I want to repent of my sin. I want to ask you to forgive me of ever bad thing I've ever done. Cleanse my heart, and by your Spirit come into my life and save me as I repent of my past. Would you, O God, forgive me and give me a brand new start as you cleanse my heart? If you say anything like that to him and you mean that, he will do that. That's what the gospel message is about, that whosoever will call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Let's pray together. Father, in this room, there could be a young person, there could be a middle-aged person, there could be a senior adult who's hoping for heaven is on some other basis, who's dealing with life day by day is just in the hopes that politics can save us and can straighten out the mess we're in. But Lord, the truth of it is, America's not in a mess, the hearts of Americans are. The truth of it is, the world is not in a mess, but the hearts of people of the world is in a mess. And the only one that can change that and fix that and give us hope in the midst of such hopelessness is the God of all hope, the one who is the one that gives living hope. And I pray in this moment that God the Holy Spirit would give to the hearts of each one exactly what they need to turn from the part they need to turn from and to turn to the one they need to turn to. May your will and way be accomplished in our hearts and our lives. And we thank you for the glory of the cross and the wonder of salvation. May the reality of salvation motivate us this week to tell everybody we see that Jesus Christ is alive and he still forgives sin. Thank you for your grace and goodness. We ask tonight and give to you our gratitude. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand with your pastor? Brother David leads us in a hymn of commitment and response.